Should be right. Look on the bottom of it. Good. I don't know why this is not.
It was like very slow.
I mean, the thing is recording now, but just the audio for some reason is not. No, the audio recorder. This one. This is already on, so I'm going to start. All right, I will say, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Gimel. We are going to begin from the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis. Just a couple of lines, six lines up from the bottom. We have an interesting daf this morning. So the Gemara says the following, Mistamich. Rabbi Avo was walking and he was leaning on the shoulder of Rabbi Nachum. Rabbi Nachum, his Shamei literally means his attendant, his servant, meaning, let's say, you know, we have this theme throughout Yavid and Pirkei Avos and other places as well, that sometimes one could learn so much more from their Rebbe by spending time with them than just by simply, you know, you learn from your Rebbe, of course, again, from the Torah that he gives you. But if a person is zochah to develop a real relationship with the Rebbe, one learns so much, again, just from the behaviors and the characteristics and being around. So apparently, Rabbi Nachum was the attendant. He used to attend to Rabbi Avo, and Rabbi Avo was leaning on his shoulder. Mankit va'azol hilchasamines. Rabbi Nachum, of course, took advantage of this opportunity and began to ask Rabbi Avo all kinds of halachic questions. He was asking specifically in the realm of almost how to decide matters of halacha. So, boimine, machlokis va'achakach stamai. What happens if you have two mishnayos, so two rabbinic teachings? One is stated as a machlokis, and the other one is stam, meaning without attribution. Who does the halacha follow? Amrali halacha kistam. So, Rabbi Avo responded, halacha follows the one that does not have a particular opinion attributed to it. In other words, when a particular teaching or ruling is stam, without attribution, that indicates that what? That is the majority opinion, as opposed to when you have something that has a particular attribution to one particular sage, that means one person holds like that. So therefore, if you have two rulings, one attributed to one sage, one attributed to stam, meaning unattributed, anonymous, anonymity means the majority rules that way. Stam ba'achakach machlokes. What happens again if you have an unattributed ruling and then afterwards a dispute? Amalei ein halacha kistam. In that case, because the machlokis came up after the stam, then ultimately that indicates that it's subject to a matter of dispute, or it's a matter of dispute. However, stamad de masnisin machlokis bebraisa, what happens again if in a mishnah you have stam, meaning unattributed ruling, just blanket ruling, and in a braisa, remember I will say, a braisa is a rabbinic teaching that was not included in the mishnah, right? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi goes ahead and takes different rabbinic teachings, includes them in the mishnah, certain things that did not make the mishnaic cut, but are still organized as rabbinic teachings, are called braisos. So what happens if you have a stam mishnah, a machlokis, and a braiso? Relay halacha kistam. That case, again, the halacha follows the stam mishnah. Okay. Machlokis b'masnisin ustam b'braiso. So what happens if you first have the machlokis and the mishnah, and then you have a stam braiso? Amrle, top of Mem Gimel, v'chis Rabbi Avo gave an interesting answer. V'chi Rabbi lo shina, Rabbi chia minayin lo, right, minayin lo. So he said, if Rabbi did not go ahead and interpret it, so ultimately, how would Rabbi chia know? Meaning, we'll say the Gemara thing over here, that if you have a machlokis and a mishnah, and it's a stam braisa, so the stam braisa can't be any more authoritative than the machlokis and the mishnah. Because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would have seen that braisa as well, yet he chose not to include it in the creation of the Mishnah, which indicates that it's a matter that's subject to machlokas. Amar leva hatna, but he said to him, but what about the fact that we learned the following? So the Gemara says, v'hatna, misarik shal pishtan, shenitlu shinov, v'nishtayru bo shtayim. So we'll say, listen to this case. We've seen this in previous sugyas. We've seen this in previous sugyas. First of all, just take a look at Rashi. When Rashi says Rabbi Chiya, Talmid. Rabbi Chiya was the Talmid of Rabbi. Minayin lo shalacha kimosa shestamba bebraisa. Okay, so we know that in general, when it comes to the halachas of Tumah and Tara, that a utensil is only mekabel Tumah. If what? If it has the ability to go ahead and function in its normal capacity, for its intended purpose. But if the kli is compromised to such a degree that it no longer has the ability to act in its intended purpose, so two things happen. First of all, it's no longer mekabel tumah. That's number one. And number two is what? That if it was already tameh, if you then go ahead and diminish it to the point that it can no longer be used in its intended capacity, then it loses its tumah. So meaning it cannot be mekabel tumah, and if it was tameh, ultimately, it loses that tumah. It's exactly the case. Correct. That's where we've seen this before. So the Gemara says over here, Misarek Misrak Shal Pishtan. So if you have a comb, a flax comb, Shenit Lushinov. So what happened? So the teeth of the comb, I think that's the technical, right? That's what we call it also, the teeth of the comb. The teeth of the comb were removed. Vinishtairo Bashtaim. And ultimately, only two teeth were left. Tmeos. The halacha is that the comb is tummy. Why, Rabosai? Because at least if you have two teeth, the mice again, you could still be usable to comb the flax. However, again, if only one tooth was left over, then tahora, then the comb is tahar, which Rabosai is another way of saying what? That it's not considered to be a kli. If it's not considered to be a utensil, then by definition it's tahar. V'chula shenitlu achas bifnei asman, toros, tomatoes, excuse me, and when each of these teeth are removed by themselves, Rashi says, achas bifnei atzma, she'ina techuva b'masreik, Tmeya. So this is interesting. See, the first part of the braisa was focusing on the status of the comb. So if all the teeth are removed, then obviously the comb is tahor. If two of the teeth are left, then the comb could still function as a comb. Therefore, it's tamei. What about now the actual teeth themselves? When the teeth are removed from the comb, what's their status? So now the Gemara says, V'chulet shenitlu achas achas, as the teeth are removed one by one, bifnei atzman tmeos. Each of them are tamei. Rashi says why? Tmeya sheru'uya lener olamituach lifosh begadim ochut zo mizo. So we will see later on that individual teeth were usable for purposes like cleaning out lanterns. Right? Like cleaning out lanterns, going and cleaning out a nair, quite literally, or stretching fabric. So because, again, they're not usable for combing flax, but because they have another intended use, therefore by definition they're tamei. Next case, Sheltsemer. What happens now if you have a comb for wool? So apparently, again, combs for wool and combs for flax were different. So you have a comb for wool. Shenit Lushinov. The teeth were removed. Achas Mebein Saim. So one from between two. Now look at Rashi. Achas Mebein Saim. Shemekol Gimel Hasmuchos Nitla Haemtsois Tu Su Lo Chazi. So also, if you can imagine, from every three teeth, you removed the middle one. So once you remove the middle one, then what? Then it's no longer effective for combing wool. So what's the halacha tar? At that point in time, again, the comb becomes tahar, i.e. it no longer has the status of a comb, of a kli, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. Nishtayru bo gimel b'makom echad tameh. However, if three teeth of the comb remain together in one place, then what? Then the comb is a comb, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. But if you have three teeth left over, but what? One of the three was the outer tooth of the comb. Then lemaisa again tar. What I was saying. So apparently, I guess it's kind of like the same way we have our combs today. That lemaisa, if you never notice on a comb, so the outer teeth are wider than the inner teeth. So lemaisa, again, for wool, that's problematic. For wool, if one of the three that you have left is the outer one, which is wider, that's not really good for combing wool. Therefore, again, lemaisa, tahar. Nitlu beis va'asan lemalakit. If you took two of the teeth and fashioned them into tweezers, tomatoes, then you, again, as much as the teeth are not functioning as teeth of a comb, but now you've made them into a new kli, they're usable in that particular capacity. Therefore, the ma'aseh there, tamei. Achos, if you removed one of the teeth, v'hiskina lener, ole mituach, and you decided to use it to clean out the lantern, clean out the nair. Or mituach means stretching a fabric, meaning you found some other purposeful use for it. Then tamei, then lemais again it's tamei. The kaimalon, and I will say interestingly enough, we paskin that what the ein halacha ka'osa mishnah. See, I will say, so now remember again. based on the discussion between Rabbi Avohu and Rabbi Nachum. So the one thing that came out is when you have a Stam Mishnah, the halacha always follows a Stam Mishnah. Well, here you have a Stam Mishnah. I mean, I will say you have a teaching, a rabbinic teaching, without attribution, which also means nobody's arguing on it. So it would appear that what? That the halacha should be like this. And yet, the Gemara says, the Kaimalon, dein halacha goes to Mishnah. And yet, we know that, at least it was stated, that the halacha does not follow this Mishnah, which seems to indicate that what? That Lemaisa, again, even a Stam Mishnah, you don't go like it. Amarlei said to him, no, bar mehahi. No, this ruling that you just taught, this is the exception. The Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to Amri Tarvayhu, zu ein a Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said that this was not an authentic teaching. Why not? My time, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Manoach, Mishay, Rav Idi, Brei, Rav Ika, Mishum, Dekashya, Reisha, Lesefa. Because there is an inherent contradiction within this teaching, between the first section and the second section. What's the inherent contradiction? Diktani shel tzemer shenitlu shinav achas mibein sayim tahar. Because remember again, in the first case, meaning the comb of the wool, where what we remember, if you have three teeth and the middle one was taken out, tahar. Ultimately, the comb is tar, i.e., the comb doesn't function as a comb, and therefore it's tar. Now, the inference from that is, why is that comb problematic, Rabbi Osai? Because you have a space in between the two teeth, right? That's what something, if you could imagine this, if you have three teeth, this is my complex visual aid today, right? You have three teeth, and you take this is getting complicated, right? You go ahead and you take away that middle one. But Pashtus, it sounds like the reason why that comb is no longer a functional comb is because you can't go ahead and comb wool with that space in between. But the inference from that is what? That if you had two teeth together, that lemaisa again, that should be fine. To which the Gemara says, it would sound like if you had two teeth together, it should be okay. And yet, what does it say later on? If the comb has three teeth together, then it's tameh. Gimel in, shtayim lo, which infers what? That only three together makes the comb tameh. When I say makes the comb tameh, so you understand what I mean by that. Right? Means that it has the identity of a comb, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. Only three, not two. So again, remember, so that what the Gemara is just pointing out of it, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said, this Mishnah, there's something off about it because it's inherently contradictory. On one hand, you start off by saying that if it would have two together, then Lamai say it's a functional comb, and then you go on to say, if only if it has three together, is it a functional comb? So obviously you're off. To which the Gemara says, "Umay kosha." Well, I don't understand why that's such a kasha. Dilma ha begavaisa ha bebraisa. Maybe it depends. Maybe one is talking about the teeth of the inner row, and one is talking about the teeth of the outer row. In other words, that it depends where the teeth are missing. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, ha diktani shtayim tame. That when it says that if you have two teeth, so its comb is still a comb, i.e., it's mekabel tumah, has the identity of a comb. Bigavaisa, that's referring ultimately again to the inner row. Emtsos techazion tfei. However, when the inference that says that you need three, that's talking about the outer row. You will say, apparently, that these type of combs look more like a brush. The reason it calls it a comb is because unlike a brush that has, what's the right word? Softer bristles, right? So the comb had teeth that were fixed in place, but in reality it looked more like a brush. Oh, a lot of collateral damage over here too. Okay, good. It looked like a brush. Okay, good. Yeah, again, you could take a look if anyone has the car and say it looks like there were two panels a part of it. Right? I'll put it in front of the video. Okay.
Everybody log in.
Log in on your mobile devices, you can see it. Yeah, I know. We'll say, okay, yeah, quickly. Right.
Now I come along and I put the teeth back in again. An hour later, does it become tummy again?
No, it doesn't resume its old tuma. Correct. It's a new kli. Correct. Meaning that's why we've learned before that the easiest way sometimes to remedy the tumah of an item is to deconstruct it and then reconstruct it. And then once you reconstruct it, it becomes a mekabel tumah once again, but it does not regain that old tumah. That is correct. So both sides say the Gemara goes, Diktani v'kulan shenitl achas achas bifnei atzmon tzmeos. But yet again, the Gemara says you're right. So maybe it could be that the inference is not such a kasha, meaning the two different inferences of 2 verses 3 you could explain away. But there's another problem. Diktani v'kulan shenitl achas achas bifnei atzmon tzmeos. Remember again the Mishnah that we quoted. The teaching that we quoted before said that when you take out each of the teeth by themselves, each tooth looked at on its own is tameh, because the assumption was that each tooth has the ability to be used in a constructive form. Therefore, it still is mekabel tumah. Va'af agav delo hiskina, and even though it was not prepared for use as a utensil, but yet ema seifa. Look at the end of that teaching. Achos v'hiskina lener olamituach. Bless you, Tzmeya. Yet we look at the end of that teaching, and what did it say? That if you take out the teeth one by one, and you go ahead and you prepare them for use to clean out the lantern or to stretch out fabric, Tzmeya, what do we see from there? Hiskina in, lo hiskina lo. So we'll say now what the Gemara says, there is another inherent contradiction, which is that what's the status of those teeth once they are removed from the comb? According to the first part of the teaching, it sounds like that even if you did not actively prepare it for use, lemaisa, it is still technically usable, therefore it's makabel tumah. According to the second part of the rabbinic teaching, it sounds like what? It's only if you actively designate it for some other purpose that it's makabel tumah. Amar Abaye, my kushya. What's, I don't say, it's not such a kasha. Dilma habekatayu, habelokatayu. Maybe it depends on how the tooth came off the comb. If the tooth comes off the comb with a little bit of wood attached to it, then the maaser already has a built-in handle, so to speak, so it's usable from the moment that it's detached, as opposed to if the tooth is removed. But again, I will say the tooth often was iron, was metal. If the tooth was removed, but it does not have some wood on the bottom, then it would not be immediately usable as a kli. Amar Papa, Umay Kosha, Vidilma Habikatinsa Haba Alimta. Furthermore, again, maybe it's also talking about different kinds of teeth. Maybe some are talking about the narrow teeth. Maybe some are talking about the wider teeth. Elamishum Dimisai. So I will say, so what the point the Gemara is making over here, remember, is the reason we brought this whole thing up is because one of the principles that Rabbi Avo espoused is that whenever you have what we'll call a Stam Mishnah, whenever you have a Mishnah without attribution, it would appear that the halacha always follows that particular Mishnah. Here we have what appears to be a ruling without any attribution, a Stam Mishnah. And yet we're saying the halacha does not follow this teaching. Now we're trying to figure out why is that the halacha does not follow this. So we're suggesting a couple of different possibilities as to why it was inherently contradictory. Now essentially we've seen that at the end of the day, all of those contradictions can be resolved. In which case, we're back to square one, which is why doesn't the halacha follow this particular ruling that's a stam ruling? To which the Gemara says, Alam Yishun Nemesayim by Dafkani, because again, Rabbi says it's actually interesting, because the way that the Dafkani is people who are meticulous, like Dafka, right? Because those who were very meticulous in recording rabbinic teachings had a different ending of this particular ruling. And how did it end? Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. See, Rabosai, the way we had it quoted over here is that it was Stam. The Dafkani, meaning those who are a little bit more careful with how things were recorded, didn't have it end off as a Stam, but rather it ended off as the opinion of an individual, Rabbi Shimon. Once it's the opinion of an individual, then what? Then, of course, again, it is subject to dispute. Shalach Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Chiya bar Avin sent the following message. Ma'arsin toch gimel. You can go ahead. You could do Erisin within the 3 months. You're also going back to the ruling that we had before, that Lamaisa, whenever a woman is coming off of a previous marriage, so she has to wait 3 months, Havchana, before getting remarried. So Rabbi Chiya said that you could do Erisin even within the 3 months. You can't do Nisuin, you can't go ahead and do full-fledged marriage, but you could do Erisin, because during Erisin, man and wife are not living together. V'chein osim masa, and we actually do this. Rashi's kilomar v'chein osim masa kilomar kach ra'isi minak chachamim osim. And I will say, Rabbi Chiya bolsters his statement by saying, I have actually seen this happen. So I will say, it's one thing to espouse a halachic opinion. There are many halachic opinions. It's another thing to say that what I actually saw this happen. I saw rabbanim. I saw chachamim actually go ahead and do these things, meaning go ahead and allow a woman to do Erisin within the 3 months after her previous marriage. And we'll say it's not such a surprise. That's because we saw that opinion in the Mishnah already. And so to Rabbi Lazar taught us the name Rabbi Chanina HaGadol. Rubo Shal Rishon, Rubo Shal Shlishi, Ve'emtsai Shalim. That the truth is you don't have to wait the full 3 months. Rather, you just need the majority of the first month, the entirety of the third month. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Rubo Shal Rishon, Rubo Shal Shlishi, Ve'emtsai Shalim. Yes, the majority of the first month, majority of the last month, and the only complete month you need is the middle month. Ameimar Shara Li. Alright, so we'll say the Gemara is just pointing out over here that apparently not everyone subscribes to this full 3 month marriage moratorium. So whether again you have like Rabbi Chiya who's saying that even within the 3 months you could do Eris, and remember, nobody's permitting Nisuin yet, right? Right now, the only discussion is regarding Erisin. Again, Rabbi Lazar is saying you don't really even need a full 3 months. You just need the majority of month one and month three and a full month two.
What does it mean, the majority of the first month? You're not getting married until the third month.
I'm sorry?
What does it mean, the majority of
that you don't need 90 days? That's what he means. Meaning you need, essentially, that if you were to look at 3 months, you would need the majority of 2 months and one full month, which essentially would mean you would need 16 days of month one, 16 days of month two, and the entirety of, 6 days of month three, I'm sorry, and the entirety of day two. So if you just calculate that, the number of days. So instead of going ahead and needing 90 days, he ultimately says you would need 60 days. Armli Ravashi Tamimar. So Ravashi said Tamimar the following. He said, Vaha Rav Shmuel Dermi Tarvayu, Tzrich, excuse me, Vaha Rav, sorry, I read that wrong. Armli Ravashi Tamimar, Vaha Rav Ushmuel Dermi Tarvayu, Tzrichin Lahamtin Gimel Chadoshim, Chutzmiom Shemesbo, Chutzmiom Shinizarsabo. But yet Rav and Shmuel both said, what are you talking about? You need 3 full months. 3 full months, and those 3 months on both sides don't include the day the husband died and the day ultimately of Erusin. In other words, that you need 90 complete days in between the date of death and between the date of Erusin. So the Gemara is asking over here, if Rav and Shmuel on both sides, remember, Rav and Shmuel debated many things. For the Rav and Shmuel to be on the same side of halachic issue is big stuff. So Rav and Shmuel are both saying that Lamaise again, you need a complete 90 days. So how could these other Rabbanim go ahead and say that you don't need a complete 90 days? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Hahu le'inyan menekes. That's actually referring to a woman who is nursing. So the Gemara says, Itmar, the Rav Shmuel Dermi Tarvayu, Tzricha lahamtin chav dalir chodesh, chutz miyom shenolad bo, v'chutz miyom shenis arsabo. So I will say, the Gemara is suggesting over here that somebody's mixing up concepts. That Rav and Shmuel commented, Rabbi. So remember, we spoke about this before, that one is not permitted to marry a woman who is nursing her child. Right? You have to wait 2 years. You have to wait until the woman essentially weans the child. Why? Out of the concern that she may become pregnant, and if she becomes pregnant from her new husband, that may diminish the milk supply. Diminishing the milk supply could create a mortal danger to the child. So you have to wait. So in that case, Rav and Shmuel said that you have to wait 24 months prior to going ahead and marrying this woman. And that 24 months does not include what? Does not include the day that she lost her husband and the day that she would get remarried. So you might suggest someone erroneously took that concept and applied it in other cases and said that whenever a woman has to wait 3 months, those 90 days don't include what? The day that her husband died or she got divorced, as well as the day of remarriage. But Rav and Shmuel were actually not commenting on that case. They were dafka commenting on the case of Meinekes Chavero. Vaha, hahu, the Ovid Sudas Erusin. Biyom Tishim, va'af sedei rav le'sudasei. But yet again, there was a story of a man who made a su'udas erusin. Right, he made a suda. He made a celebratory feast celebrating his erusin, and he did it when he did it on the 90th day. And Rava said, throw it all out. Right, or I don't even say throw it all out, but he said, you can't continue with this party. So what do you see from here? Now, what was Rava's problem? Rava's problem was that, listen, if you did it tomorrow, I'd have no problem, but you can't do it on the 90th day. So you see over here, that's what? That again, that there is this hakpada, that the 90 days be complete 90 days, and that the day of death, and when I say death, death or divorce are interchangeable, that the day of death, divorce, and the day of remarriage, erusin, have to be separate days, to which the Gemara says, Ahu hahi l'sudas nisuin havi. Oh, to which the Gemara says, no, you got the story wrong. That was not a case of a suda for erusin. That was a case of suda for nisuin. See, Rabosa, in that situation, everyone agrees that what? Nisuin cannot happen within the 90 days itself. V'hilchasa, and what is the halacha? Tzricha lahamtin chav talir chodesh. Chutz miyom shenolad bo. So I'll say, number one, the halacha is that you have to wait. If a man wants to marry a woman who is nursing, he has to wait until after 24 months. Meaning when she, I would say, obviously when we say 24 months, 24 months is the maximum. Meaning that's assumed that, let's say again, she mamish gave birth on the day that her husband died. So the maximum amount of time you would have to wait before going ahead and marrying her would be 2 years, 24 months, because that was the normal window in which a woman would nurse. But again, obviously, if let's say, again, she's widowed or she's divorced and her child is, a year old, then obviously that window shrinks accordingly. But the halacha is, you have to wait 24 months before marrying a woman who's nursing. And again, I will say, remember, those 24 months do not include what? Are 24 months independent, do not include, you mean you can't get married. You can't do erusin on the last day of that 24 months, only after the 24 months is actually over. Similarly, that I will say any time that a woman has to wait 3 months. Now remember, when does a woman have to wait 3 months before getting remarried? Essentially, every case where the marriage ends. We'll say, we will see, and we'll get to this a little bit more, but this, the Shulchan Aruch discusses, this is in Evan HaEzer, Simen Yud Gimel, Sif Aleph, where any time that a woman is coming off of a marriage, whether her husband died, whether she was widowed, right, she has to wait 3 months prior to getting remarried. And we already established in Friday's daf that what? That this is a gzera, that even if there is no chance of the woman becoming pregnant, right, she's a ketana, or she's 85 years old, or whatever the situation is, absolutely irrelevant. The halach is a woman may not get remarried within 3 months after her previous marriage dissolves.
Married when
Nisarsa is engaged. But that means married. Halacha doesn't recognize what we call engagement. No such concept of engagement in halacha. Erusin is marriage. Erusin is halachic marriage. You need an additional step of nisuin in order to live together, but that's what it means. No erusin. No erusin during those 3 months. Chutz miyom shemespo, v'chutz miyom shenis arsava. And Rabbi said, the way we pass in is that halacha lemaisa, those 90 days, we say 3 months, but it really means 90 days. Those 90 days are independent of the day of death. And by the way, day of death also means the day that the get was given. It's the same thing. The day of the dissolution of the marriage and the day of the erusin. So halacha lemaisa, that is how we pass in la halacha. And again, I'll say, just so you see, with the way we pass in la halacha, this is by yibum also, right? The Rambam paskins again, this is in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Yibum v'Chalitza, Halacha Yotes. The Rambam writes, Hayevama lo tisyabe v'lo tachlos ad shetamten tishim yom. A yevama cannot do yibum and cannot do chalitza until 90 days elapse. Chut, because again, remember, we want to see if she's pregnant. Again, the reason for the takon is we want to see if she's pregnant from the first husband. Chutz miyom hamisa umiyom ayibum. And that 90 days is independent of the day that the husband died and the day that the yibum will actually take place. Yom ha-chalitza kishar kol anashim. And the Rambam then goes on to say, umipnei ma lo tachlos biyom tishim mipnei she'in ru'i liyibum. Okay, fine. So the Rambam then goes on. So we'll say, saloch lemaisa. Again, we got into this topic because of yibum, but it applies equally to any case where a woman is coming off another marriage, either because of yibum, death, divorce, whatever it may be, she has to wait 90 days before getting into another marriage. And halacha lemaisa, that 90 days does not include the day of death or dissolution of the marriage and the day of the second erusin. Now, I'll say the truth is the topic of meinekes chavero, the topic of marrying a woman who is nursing a child, is a much more in-depth topic, especially contemporarily. Well, actually, we're not going to do it now because that is a sugya in ksubis that we'll do. So, Mir Tashem, we'll get to it. Chutz min almana.
So if it's a soldier that has one of those retroactive gets, then that's the 90-day clock running?
What? All right, the current space stuff. Yeah, correct. Any retroactive get would be correct. That is correct. That is correct from the date of the get. Correct from the time that the divorce is actually chal. Correct. Says the Gemara. Chutz min almana. So again, now the Mishnah is quoting. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. Remember again, Rabbi Yossi disagreed with the Tanakhama in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi held that all women are permitted to do erusin. even during the 90 days. No problem with erusin, just restriction on nisuin, with the exception of an almana. An almana, now and again, almana can't do erusin when? For the first 30 days. Why? Because she's in shloshim for a husband. Meaning if she's doing erusin, the first, she'll probably open up an investigation or something about the circumstance of her husband's death. Correct. If she's paying for the second wedding from the insurance policy, we might want to look into that. And then Rabbi says, Rabbi Yossi normally holds it like this. The only restriction during the 90 days is nisuin, full-fledged marriage, but erusin, where husband and wife aren't, they're much, as much as they're halachically married, they're not permitted to live together. Rabbi Yossi says there should be no problem with allowing them to do erusin even during the 90-day period, because again, we could still wait to see if she's pregnant from husband number one. That doesn't pose a problem because she's not living with husband number two. The only exception is an almana who has to wait 30 days for her avelus before getting remarried. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Kavachomer. Rav Chisda says, this is a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Uma b'makum sh'asr l'chabes mutal l'ares, in a situation where laundering clothing is permitted, but yet erusin, is prohibited, yet erusin is permitted. Makum shemutal l'chabes in odin shemutal l'ares. All the more so if she's permitted to launder clothing, should she not be permitted to go into erusin? Says the Gemara, Mahi, what are you talking about? Right? What exactly is it that you're referring to? Listen to this. The Gemara says, Disnan. I'll tell you, we learned in the Mishnah, Shabbos shechal Tisha B'av besocha, the week in which Tisha B'av falls out. Asr l'saper u'lechabes. You are not permitted to go ahead. Saper means haircut or shave. U'lechabes or launder clothing. U'bechamisha, ever on Thursday, mutter, you are permitted. Mipnei kavod haShabbos. Out of kavod for Shabbos. V'tanya, and we learned, kodim azman hazeh, even before this time, I will say that's called Shvua Shechal Bo. That's the week in which Tisha B'av falls out. So the Gemara just ruled over here that Lamaisa, again, you can't go ahead and take a haircut or launder clothing. However, on Thursday, you can do so because of Kavod Shabbos. V'tanya, and we learned, kodim azman hazeh, before the week of Shua Shechalbo, right? So meaning also what we would call the 9 days, right? The period before the Shua Shechalbo, Saha'am mema'atin ba'askei melisa melitein. People try to decrease their business dealings. Meaning we try not to engage in non-essential business dealings. Umelisa meliton, umelivnos, and from building. Vilintoa, and from planting. Uma'arsin, but we do allow erusin. Avalo konsin, but we don't allow nisuin. Ve'ein osin seudas erusin. And we do not allow for a seuda for erusin as well. We don't allow seuda for erusin as well. So as I see, you see over here that what? That even during a period of avelos, erusin is permitted. To which the Gemara says, ki tanya hahi. No. When was this stated that erusin is permitted? Kodem to kodem. Before the before. Now we'll say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Last line on the daf. Kodem to kodem. Kodem Shabbos Shechal Tisha V'Besocha. Dehasa Mutar L'Chabes. Aval Toch HaShabbos Kishem Sh'asa L'Chabes. Asa Nami Li'ari Seleka Kavachomer. We'll say, to which the Gemara says like this. Which says, no, you're mixing up what's happening over here. The Gemara says that, when do we say that erusin is permitted? Erusin is permitted the week before Shavua Shechalbo. So the week before, the week in which Tisha B'av falls out, that's when erusin is permitted. And that's the time ultimately where what? Laundering one's clothing is technically permitted as well. But the week of Tisha B'av itself, one would not be permitted to go ahead and engage in erusin. To which the Gemara says, because most remember, the reason why this is important is because Rabbi Yossi put an erusin moratorium on the almana because he assumed that during the shloshim period, when she is mourning, that she would not be halachically permitted to go ahead and do erusin. The Gemara tried to challenge this from this particular teaching by Tisha B'av, by this passage from Tisha B'av. But now we've seen it's not really a contradiction because even by Tisha B'av, the only time, or I should say, in the period leading up to the 9 days, she could, or to Tisha B'av, she can get married, she can do erusin not during Shavua Shechalbo, but only when? The week before Shavua Shechalbo, in which is a time, Rabbi Yossi, where we know that the morning practices are not as intense. I just want to point something out, just so you should know. The week of Tisha, Shavua Shechalbo, is very much like Shloshim, right? There are many halachic similarities, again, to those two particular dates. Just like Tisha B'Av is like Shiva itself. So ultimately, Shavua Shechalbo is like Shloshim. So the Gemara wanted to suggest over here that if you could prove that erusin could occur on Shavuot Shechalbo, then what? On the week of Tisha B'Av, then that should allow the Almana, even during Shloshim, to do Erusin as well. Now what we just effectively said is that no. You can't do Erusin on the week of Tisha B'Av. When did we say you could do Erusin? On the week before Tisha B'Av. To which the Gemara says the following. Amar Rava, the kodem nami kavachomer. Rava says that's fine, but we can even make a kavachomer from the week before the week of Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says umav makom shasher li savlitain motale ares. So if Rava says, remember on the week before Tisha B'Av, Rava says for us, for practically speaking, means what? The 9 days. So let's say again after Rosh Chodesh Av, but yet I'm not yet in the week of Tisha B'Av. What did the Brisa say? The Brisa said one should try to diminish their business dealings. One shouldn't engage in non-essential business dealings. So if on the week, if during the 9 days, meaning before the Shavuot Shechalbo, I have to diminish business things, but yeah, what? Mutar la'ares. A person is permitted to go out and do erusin. Makom shemutar lisav alitain. Ain al din shemutar la'ares. Rav say all the more so, when there is no restriction on business dealings, of course one should be able to do erusin. When is there no restriction on business, Rav say? During Shloshim. During the Shloshim morning period, there is no restriction on what kind of business you can transact. So if there's no restriction on transaction of business, then what? Then you should be permitted to do Erusin as well. To which the Gemara says, Inu din shabbat la'aris, lo temed rabiosi, omer kol anashim yis'arsu, ela ema kol anashim yinasu. Oh, to which the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yossi is saying something much more profound. Rabbi Yossi is not simply saying that. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says in the Mishnah, I think there's no such thing as the 90-day waiting period, but rather as soon as your husband dies, you get divorced, you can get remarried, nisuin. Except for an almana who shouldn't do nisuin. Why? Why? Because she's an avelos. So the Gemara says, 1 second, I'm amazed. The less they the Rabbi Yossi lahavchin, right? Let's say Rabbi Yossi lahavchin. Does Rabbi Yossi not hold of havchana? Meaning, I'll say, what does that mean? That does he not hold of this entire situation ultimately again of not doing havchana? To which the Gemara says, Leslie. Yeah, maybe he just disagrees with it. Maybe there's a fundamental machlokis as to what the actual rabbinic enactment was, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the whole concept, ultimately, again, of Havchana. Now, that is a very dramatic way to frame this machlokis, because the truth is, we've never seen anything like this before. This entire discussion, it's always been an assumption that what? Everyone buys into the core concept of Havchana. The machlokis is what? Is what? Is the application of it, right? Does it apply, everybody, does it apply to Eris? And also, is it a full 90 days, majority of 90 days? But everybody seemed to be on the same page of this Avchana. To say that now Rabbi Yossi rejects the notion of Avchana is quite dramatic, to which the Gemara says, V'bayisim, and therefore let's give another suggestion. V'bayisim, the Olam Islay. No, Rabbi Yossi holds of Avchana. Ayes, what's the machlokes? Ve'im Rabbi Yossi, ve'ima Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kalarusos grushos yinasu. Oh, Rabbi Yossi is not disagreeing about Havchana. He agrees. He agrees that every woman should wait 90 days. But when did he say that a woman could get married immediately? Arusos grushos. Well, so what's the case of Arusa Grusha? So Arusa Grusha means a woman who is divorced from Erusin. So now there's two things going for her, so to speak, right? Number one, which is what? Number one, which is, again, she's not an almana. So because she's not an almana, then what? Then what? There's no avelos. There's no avelos, right? So therefore, again, there's no need for her to wait. Number two, she was divorced from Erusin, which means what? The assumption is she's a besula, which means, again, there's no real need to go out and see if she's pregnant. So therefore, in that case, Rabbi Yossi says, if you are an arusa grusha, you know, so you're permitted to get married immediately. Not just Erusin, but what? But what? Nisuin itself. So we'll say, if that's the case, the truth is that's not so dramatic. Rabbi Huda already said that explicitly in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda said that when a woman is divorced from Erusin, then Lamaisa, obviously there's no Avelos, and Lamaisa, there's no fear of pregnancy. She can get married immediately. Now I'll tell you why. Ika Beinaihu, here's the difference between them. Nisua Li'ares. The difference between them is, if a woman did have Nisuin, do we permit her to do Erusin within the 90 days? Rabbi Yehuda Savar Nisua Mutaras Li'ores. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if a woman had Nisuin, so as much as she can't do Nisuin within the 90 days, because again, we have to say she's pregnant or not, Lamaisa, she's absolutely permitted to do Erusin. Rabbi Yehuda says, Nisua Arusa, Nisua Asura le'aris. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds that, no, once a woman had nisuin, then what, Rabbi Yossi? Then l'maisa, she is not permitted to go ahead and do any kind of erusin within the 90 days. V'savar Rabbi Yossi, nisua asura le'aris. Now, does Rabbi Yossi really hold that l'maisa, a nisua, ultimately is prohibited from going ahead and engaging in erusin? V'atanya, we learn, Rabbi Yossi omer, kol ha'noshim yis'arsu, chutz min ha'amonim me'a'ibol. But Rabbi Yossi is in the Mishnah saying that what? All women are permitted to go out and do erusin upon the dissolution of their marriage, no matter what stage of marriage they were in, with the exception of the amono, who can't go ahead and engage in erusin because of her avelos. The kama ibol shalah, and how long is her avelos? Shloshim yom, 30 days. V'chulon lo yinasu ad shiyu lohen gimel chadashim. And all these women should not do nisuin until 3 months have elapsed. So the Gemara says, "Hi, my kusha, what's your problem? Ilema diktani Rabbi Yossi omer kol hanashim yisarsu. If Rabbi Yossi says that all the women have the ability to do erusin, mi alima mimas nisin? Diukimna ba'arusos grushos? Will Rabbi Yossi's statement be any stronger than our Mishnah? Our Mishnah set up the case how Rabbi Yossi is what? As dealing with an arusa who's a grusha. So yinasu, they're permitted, only in that case you're permitted to go ahead and do nisuin. Hachinami, kol arusos, grushos yinasu. So too we can say that Rabbi Yossi gives the license for a woman who is divorced to get married immediately. That's only referring to what? That's only referring to a woman who was divorced from erusin. So if you're divorced from erusin, there's no avelos, there's no fear of pregnancy because you only had erusin. Okay, that's when you're permitted to go and get married immediately. Elam is safer. Rather, the kash is from the second part of the Mishnah. Diktani, v'chulan lo yinasu, achulahen gimel chadoshim, that the Mishnah said all of these women should not do nisuin until they have 3 months that have elapsed. In subehu delo, ha isruse shapir dami. Meaning what? What does it mean? What's the restriction on? The restriction is on nisuin. But it sounds like what? That lamaisa they can go ahead and do erusin even immediately. Amarava taritz va'emahachi. Rava says, here's how you have to interpret the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi omer kol arusos grushos yinasun. Rabbi Yossi Rabosa in general holds that if a woman is divorced from erusin, she is absolutely permitted to get married. Nisuin when? Immediately. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi, remember again, she's a grusha, she's divorced, which means there's no avelos, and because she's a grusha from erusin, therefore what? She did not live with her husband, that's the assumption, and therefore the Maisa, there's no fear of pregnancy. So according to Rabbi Yossi, if a woman is an arusa grusha, get married nisuin immediately. Chutz min ha'amana. The only exception is Rabbi Yossi, if what? If you are an arusa almana, then you may not get married immediately. Why can't you get married immediately? Why? Because of avelos. So how long do you have to wait before getting married? 30 days. The kama ibol shela. How long does she have to wait? How long is her mourning period? Shloshim yom. Right? For 30 days. V'nisuos lo yisarsu ad shehei lohen shlosha chadashim. But if a woman had nisuin, then really she should not do anything, even erusin, until after 3 months. So they're fine. So both say, so now the novelty of Rabbi Yossi really is expressed in the following way. That if a woman is an arusa grusha, according to Rabbi Yossi, she can get married immediately. If, however, again, she's not an arusa grusha, if she's in a suah in any way, then lamaisa what? According to Rabbi Yossi, she should wait till the end of 3 months in order to go ahead and even do erusin. However, again, if she is an amana arusa, meaning she was widowed from erusin, then what? She doesn't have to wait 3 months because there's no din of havchana, but she does have to wait how long? 30 days because of avelos. Now the Gemara asks, 1 second. Va'amana mina erusin mi isla ibul. Is a woman who is widowed from erusin, is she subject to the laws of avelos? Rabbi Yossi, we actually spoke about this, right? Is she subject to the laws of avelos? V'hatani, we learned, v'hatani abichia bar ami, ishto arusa. Rabbi Yossi, if a man has erusin with a woman, he betrothed when he did kiddushin with a woman, and then she dies, lo onein, he does not mourn for her. V'lo matamela, if he's a kohen, he may not become tummy for her. V'chein he, so too, if she has, right, a man betrothed the woman, and he dies. V'chein he, Lo onenes, she does not mourn for him. Velo mitame lo, she does not become tame for him. Now, what does that mean? That's not referring to the fact if she's a kohenes, if she's a daughter of a kohen, because remember, daughters of kohanim are not subject to the laws of tum and tara like their male counterparts are. Rashi points out what it means is she does not have to exert herself for his burial needs. You know, say under normal circumstances, a wife would be obligated to make sure that the burial needs of her husband are taken care of. This woman who's an arusa is not obligated to see to the burial needs of her chasson. Mesa, if she dies, eina yarsha, he does not inherit her from Erisin. Mesu, if he dies, she does not inherit him except gova ksuvasa. She does get her ksuva. Elatanahi. So now what the Gemara is asking over here is, what do you mean that if she is an almana arusa, that she has to wait 30 days before getting remarried because she has to mourn for him? There's no din of avelos from Erisin. Elatanahi. That says the Gemara, it's a machlokes tanoim. This sanya, because we learned in a braisa, merosh chodesh va'at hatanis, going back to Tisha B'Av. So we learned in a braisa that from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av, ha'am mema'atin me'askein. So people diminish their business dealings. Milisa, militin, from business. Milivnos, from building. Vilintoa, from planting. Umila ares, and from doing irisin. Umilisa, and from actually getting married. That's all we'll say from Rosh Chodesh Av until the week of Tisha B'Av. However, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av B'socha, but Shavuot Shechal, but the week of Tisha B'Av itself, Asra L'Saper U'Lachabes, you may not launder your clothing, you may not get a haircut, Va'asra L'Ares, you can't do betrothals, V'yish Omrim, Kol HaChodesh Asr. And some say that the entire month is Asr. Maskev L'Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi raises a kasha, Mimai Dila Ares, L'Ares Mamish, how do you know that Erisin means Erisin? Maybe Dilma leme avid suudas Erisin huda aser hali ari shapir dummy. He'll say maybe when the Gemara says over here that you can't do Erisin on the week of Tisha B'Av, on the week of Tisha B'Av, right? Maybe, and it's not just the week of Tisha B'Av. Actually, it's even beforehand. It's even from Rosh Chodesh Avin on. Maybe that refers to what? Su'udas Erisin. You can't make a celebratory meal, but you can absolutely what? But you should absolutely go out and do Erisin. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, are you telling me then, Melisa, Linase Lami Nami Le'ovid Su'udas Nisuin, Huda Aser, Halisa Shapir Dami? Are you telling me then that would be the same thing that when it says you can't do Nisuin, that Nisuin doesn't literally mean you can't do Nisuin, but rather means what? That you can't do Su'udas Nisuin, but you could get married. Now that, well, say that would sound a little bit hard to swallow. To which Gemara says, I'll tell you why. That's not a good. It's not a good comparison. Why? Hachi hashta bishla minisun below seuda ika simcha. We'll say no. You can't get married from Rosh Chodesh Avin on, regardless, with or without a seuda. Why? Because we'll say nisun carries with it simcha. Excuse me. Thank you. Nisun carries with it its simcha, no matter what, even without a seuda. So nisun by itself is simchadik, and therefore you for sure can't do that from Rosh Chodesh Avin on. Ela irisin below seuda. Mi'ika simcha, but irisin without a su'uda, is there a simcha? Is there a simcha? So I will say, the Gemara assumes over here that the answer to that is no. The answer to that is no. And therefore, it would appear based on this that you can do nisuin, you can do irisin, even in the midst of avelos. Even in the midst of avelos. The only thing perhaps you have a restriction on is what? Is the su'uda. This is Su'uda, to which the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav Ashi, the truth is, this whole discussion so far is predicated on this comparison between the laws of personal Avelos and the laws of the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av, right? Tisha B'Av. Now, essentially, what the Gemara says is, it's apples and oranges. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, Shaini Avelos Chadosh Shama Avelos Yishana, V'Shaini Avelos Terabe Me Avelos Tiocha. So Rav Ashi essentially says, it's apples and oranges. You really can't compare the mourning dynamic of the 9 days with the individual mourning dynamic for two reasons. They're separate and independent for two reasons. Number one, the Avelos of the 9 days, Rabbi says, what we call Avelos Yishana. Avelos Yishana means historical Avelos, as opposed to Avelos Chadash. We use these terms differently, right? Differently a little bit in Moed Katan. In Moed Katan, you remember, again, we spoke about Avelos Chadash, Avelos Yishana, as referring to something you hear about within 30 days versus after 30 days, Shmu, Krova, Shmu, Rechoka. That's not how the Gemara is using it over here. Over here, the Gemara is saying like this. The mourning of Tisha B'Av is historical mourning versus the mourning of a loss of a loved one, which is contemporary new mourning. Historical mourning, by definition, will always be more lenient than contemporary individual mourning. Furthermore, Avelos de Rabim, me Avelos de Yochid. Furthermore, the morning of the 9 days, Lemaisa again is what? Is a national mourning, as opposed to when a person suffers a loss, that is individual mourning. And the Gemara is assuming over here that the laws of individual mourning will Lemaisa be more chamor, be stricter than national mourning. Although we saw in Moed Katan that there are times where that in fact is not true. There are times when in fact, again, collective mourning, national mourning is more chamor. But Lemaisa, what the Gemara essentially is answering, not Rava, who was it? Rav Ashi was essentially answering, was this whole discussion got off the ground because of a comparison to the 9 days. And the Gemara just simply says, you can't compare the 9 days to individual mourning. So Halacha L'maaseh, we'll say what comes out from this is the following. So we paskin, as I said before, that you always need 3 months. You always need the 90 days. Independent of Nisuin, correct. Actually, we're going to come back. We'll see a little bit later on to the Nisuin versus Erusin cases. But Lamaisa, again, the way the blanket halacha is that all women require 90 days prior to remarrying after the dissolution of their first marriage, whether that marriage was dissolved from the Nisuin, whether that marriage was dissolved from the Erusin, we essentially make a low plug. We make it across the spectrum rule that you have to wait 3 months, 90 days prior to engaging in a second marriage. And that is true, whether with Nisuin, but it even applies to Erusin as well. Of course, Lamaisa, if somebody did Erusin during this time, so such an Erusin does work. Like, it's not like, because again, remember, we're talking about a rabbinic injunction over here. So if you were to affect Erusin, such an Erusin would work, but Chazal said better not to do it. All right, so we'll stop over here. Pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow, Emir Tzah Hashem.